This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, as we come towards the end of the year, covering a lot of different things of interest to the Umpqua Valley and statewide as well. Yesterday afternoon, the chief petitioners to the gas tax referendum turned in more signatures, bringing the total count to just over a quarter million. And we want to talk to one of the chief petitioners, State Senator Bruce Starr, who's on with us. Bruce, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's great to spend a little bit of time with you this afternoon.
So what was your reaction yesterday? What was it like to take all the additional signatures in?
You know, it is a testament to Oregonians from every corner of our state, especially the volunteers that spent their holiday season, you know, at pop-ups, gathering signatures, taking signature sheets to their holiday parties. It's astounding. In 38 days, over 250,000 signatures. It's historic. Never been done in Oregon history like this was done. All volunteers. You know, it's a testament to the grassroots out there that are fed up with what's happening in the state capitol, fed up with supermajority arrogance, where they just think the supermajority can just force their will on Oregonians. And you know what? Oregon voters basically stood up and said, no, we're not going to take this. We're going to force a vote on this massive tax increase that the governor and the supermajority Democrats passed through the legislature.
When you and State Representative Ed Deal and the others that worked behind the scenes on this got this started, you had to be confident you'd ultimately prevail, I imagine, or you probably wouldn't have undertaken the effort. But did you have any idea it would go like this?
No. So you're right. I had no doubt in my mind that we would be able to get the signatures. Just based on how much the opposition during the process, both in June and in the special session, I mean, thousands of Oregonians weighed in opposition to these tax increases that they forced through the process. I had no doubt that we would be able to get the signatures necessary to refer. I had no idea that we would do it in the fashion that we did. The overwhelming support of the grassroots, I had no idea that it would be that way. You know, we raised money expecting that we would have to pay petitioners, just like, you know, most initiatives have to pay folks to go out and gather signatures. So we raised money to do that and expecting that we would have to use those resources in that fashion, but we did not. Every signature was collected by volunteers who spent time in the cold, spent time in the rain, out in various communities all over our state, getting those signatures. So it is amazing. I don't know what other adjectives you can use to describe what has occurred here. You know, earth-shattering, earthquake. The supermajority Democrats in the Capitol building and the governor, they were told, I'm not sure by who, that there was no way that the Republicans could gather enough signatures to do this. They'd have to raise $500,000 in order to get it done. You know, we proved the doubters wrong. And at the end of the day, it's really, I believe, shut the door on any talk about new taxes in the near future.
You know, one of the other aspects to this is it was done during the holiday season. And if you ask anybody in a nonprofit organization or a lot of other things to take on, giving out a bunch of extra time that time of year, you don't always get a positive response, unless it's something related to kids and Christmas.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, we did this during the holiday season. You know, the governor held the bill before she signed it. She held it for almost a month or about a month. And when she did that, it really created an opportunity for us, Representative Deal, Jason Williams, and myself to to get organized. And we organized the entire state. We had captains in every county, and some places we had counties with sub-captains in various communities. That allowed us to really, really get organized, allowed us to raise money. And while the governor had hoped that it would, you know, thwart our effort, it actually assisted us in getting this done because we were so well organized. And it became a very well organized machine. And, you know, we see the results of it.
So you now, what's the timeline for official verification of all the signatures?
So the statute allows basically the Secretary of State the entire month of January to validate the signatures. However, because we did an early drop about 2 weeks ago of 193,000 plus signatures, we will know. Actually, there's some expectations that we may know by today whether or not we qualified. So they've been working on that process over the last 10 days or so. So we expect we may know today. And then it just goes through a process much like the regular initiative where the attorney general gets to draft a ballot title. There's an opportunity for folks to challenge the ballot title, and ultimately, if that happens, it would go to the Supreme Court. So there's a process whereby that, you know, we get it qualified, and then there's a process by which we go through for the special election, or for the election.
And right now, you're, you know, right at the end of the year here, people are looking ahead. Now, there's some scenarios, I understand, about what might happen. In fact, I've heard there maybe is going to be a move by some of the Democrats to actually take the things that you're protesting in this initiative peel them back during the short session. What are you hearing?
So, yes, if the majority party, supermajority in the legislature does nothing, this measure would be on the November general election ballot next year. So, obviously, that would not play well necessarily with the same Democrats that voted for this tax. They're going to be on the same ballot. So, at the very least, it's highly likely that the supermajority would pass a bill to create another election date for this measure, which they very easily can do. There is some conversation about the potential of them basically deleting, going in by statute, and undoing the four taxes that we've referred to the ballot. It is unclear to us right now how that exactly would work. And we have a question into our legislative council office to find out exactly how that would look and how that would work, because we really can't find precedent historically where that has happened. So, if I'm the Senate majority leader, the House majority leader, or the Speaker of the House, or the Senate president, do I want my members who walked the plank on this tax, who were promised that, oh, there's no way that they will be able to get the signature to refer it? Do I want them to be on the same election ballot that this tax is on? No, the answer is no. So we expect them to try to do some sort of trickery, and we'll call them on it.
And as you look ahead to the short session, as the Republican leader of the Senate, what are some of your priorities?
Well, I think at the end of the day, we recognize that Oregonians are struggling across our state. Things are too expensive today. And that's one of the reasons why we fought this massive gas tax so hard. So the supermajority is looking at filling a potential budget hole. And one of the things that they're contemplating doing is disconnecting from the big, beautiful bill that Trump and the Republicans in Congress passed, that we as Oregonians are connected. Our tax code is connected to the federal tax code. So the majority Democrats are talking about disconnecting from those big, beautiful tax cuts that were passed federally, because it would cost, quote unquote, cost state government like $800 million, and God forbid that we leave $800 million in Oregon taxpayers' pockets. No, no, we got to have that in the government coffers. So we're going to fight tooth and nail against those kinds of things. The governor, all of a sudden is realizing she's up for reelection and she can't point to any kind of success that she's had. Everything that we measure in our state is pointed in the wrong direction. So all of a sudden she's talking about growing jobs and creating a prosperity council and a chief prosperity officer and cutting regulations. So in the event that the supermajority Democrats and the governor actually want to reduce regulations and cut taxes, they'll find allies in the Republican caucus. Do I believe honestly that they're serious about that? Not really. But at the same time, the Senate Republicans will offer real solutions to some of these challenges that are facing our state.
What about when the area of the business community, we've seen a lot of companies pull back from maybe company headquarters or a number of stores or that kind of thing around the state. And a lot of people are concerned that more of that's going to happen before it slows down.
Yeah, that goes to all the metrics that that get measured, how business friendly we are or, how we have the highest taxes of any place in the country. There was a recent article in a newspaper that said Oregon is not a good place to die because of our extraordinarily high death tax. And so those are all places where Republicans are interested in reducing taxes, reducing regulation, because we see, headquarters like Dutch Brothers in Southern Oregon moving to Arizona. We've seen big industries in the metro area shedding thousands of jobs. And you see, the vacancy rate of some of our largest cities extraordinarily high. So those are all challenges that the state is facing, and to a large degree, they're direct consequences of the actions of the Democrat supermajority and this governor over the last decade, where they have passed regulation upon regulation upon regulation, tax upon tax upon tax, increasing the cost of energy in our state to the point that, we have the highest gas prices in the country or close to the highest gas prices in the country. And all of those rules and regulations don't benefit Oregonians. We're seeing the results of that. So we're going to, as Republicans, we're going to fight additional rules and regulations that are coming down from our friends on the other side of the aisle. And we're going to offer alternatives like actually cutting taxes. If we want to have people with wealth, those investors and entrepreneurs, if we don't want them fleeing our state, perhaps we shouldn't have, the highest corporate tax in the country. So those are things that we're focused on.
All right. Back with State Senator Bruce Starr for our second segment in a moment. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1248 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250, Lars Larson coming up at 1. We're going to wrap up the year tomorrow for Inside Douglas County. We've got a special kind of lighter side interview. We won't tell you what it's going to be yet. It's an encore program, so listen for that at 1230 tomorrow. State Senator Bruce Starr on with us as the Senate Republican leader. Talk about how it's gone for you as the leader over the last few months.
Well, I think, it's gone pretty well. So we're looking forward to, a short session where we're going to provide a contrast to where the supermajority is. We're going to offer real solutions to the challenges facing our state. And then that session is going to end, and we're going to go directly from legislating into campaign mode, where our goal is to get out of the super minority next year, elect more Republicans to the Oregon State Senate, and bring balance really back to this process so that Oregonians from every corner of our state will have a voice in their state government, not just the Portland metro area and Eugene and other places in the valley. So we're excited. We're out recruiting candidates. We've got some fantastic candidates recruited. We're recruiting more. We're fundraising. We're doing what we have to do to provide voters in our state a real choice come November next year.
Now, a lot of times in past interviews, various Republican lawmakers locally and around the state have talked about being hopeful for gains. Yet it's been tough playing in Oregon, and the GOP hasn't made a lot of progress. What do you do differently?
Yeah, so we're gonna recruit fantastic candidates. That's the key. I mean, that's one of the most important pieces. The other piece is having the resources necessary to provide the contrast so Oregonians understand they have a real choice. And honestly, one of the major differences in previous elections and this one is the Democrats can't point to anything that's been successful. Like I mentioned a minute ago, there is nothing that we measure in our state today where the metrics are better today than they were 3 or 4 years ago or a decade ago. I mean, we're at the very bottom in education. How in the world is it that Oregonians, the adults, the grown-ups in our state, are failing our children in such a remarkable fashion? And Republicans have solutions to that, and we can provide options to voters and demonstrate why they should trust Republicans with governing as opposed to continuing in the direction that they're in. In addition to that, you know, just based on this massive response that we've gotten on this referendum process, there are thousands of fired up Oregonians out there that are chomping at the bit to help turn our state around. And those volunteers on that referendum, my hope and my belief is will focus that energy come November on knocking on doors, on turning out the vote, making sure every Republican votes in every one of these key districts so that we ultimately can win. And I think as well, as you look at the growth in the non-affiliated voters, those independent voters out there, we have a message that I think we can deliver to them as well to demonstrate that it's the Republicans that have their back. It's the Republicans that are offering real solutions to the problems facing our state. And I believe we'll be able to turn them out, and we're going to win elections this year that maybe we haven't won in the past.
But talk about balance. I'm curious how you take your role as a state senator. You're in a metro district. You got a big population. How do you balance serving your direct constituents with your role as a Republican leader?
Well, I have the opportunity to represent Yamhill and Polk County. Yamhill County is kind of the suburbs of Portland, but it's mostly rural. And so the voters that I represent are very much similar to the voters my friends down in the Rogue Valley, the Umpqua Valley where you are, and the Rogue Valley for that matter. So there's no issue necessarily between me representing my constituents and then representing the Republicans generally. At the end of the day, Oregonians across the state, they want a government that works, that functions well. They want their tax dollars to be spent wisely and efficiently. They don't want wasteful spending. And those are the things that Republicans can promise and actually will deliver. And I'm excited about these elections coming up. I'm excited about the candidates that we recruited. I'm excited about the fundraising success that we've had so far and what I see on the horizon. I think that we have a real opportunity to elect 2, 3, 4 more Republicans to the Oregon Senate. And really in January of 27, have Republicans holding gavels and helping to set the agenda rather than reacting to, you know, the Democrat majority. That's the future that I see for Oregon, and I'm excited about pursuing that.
Now, it's been 42 years, I think, since the GOP has had the office of governor. Any chance of making that happen?
No, I believe that we've got strong Republicans running for governor right now. There's going to be a primary. There might be another bigger name that jumps into that race. But we will have a Republican primary, and I believe whoever comes out of that Republican primary will be the person that will ultimately beat Tina Kotek in November. This governor has made a lot of promises and has failed to deliver on virtually all of them. And again, I don't know what she can campaign on. What can she point to as success? I don't believe she can. And I believe Oregonians are going to look up and say, oh, my gosh, we live in one of the greatest, most beautiful states in all of God's green earth. How is it that we are failing our children? How is it that our young people can't afford to buy a home? How is it that we have a homeless crisis on almost every major city in our state? How is it that we've got open drug use in Portland? Those are problems that can be solved, but you've got to have new leadership, different leadership. And I believe Oregonians are going to have that choice in November, and I believe they're going to choose our Republican nominee as opposed to reelecting this failed governor.
All right, we're out of time for now. We'll talk again soon. State Senator Bruce Starr, the Senate Republican leader, thanks for being on today.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having us.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.